Here's this week's devotion from Fremont Presbyterian Church.
Because of our self-centered nature, one of our first mistakes as human beings is assuming others think and act just like we do. Of course, because people can be very different, this misconception creates all sorts of conflicts and misunderstandings. The same self-centeredness shows up in our relationship with God. We either want to be God or we want a God shaped to our liking. Here's some biblical examples. In Genesis 3, when Eve and the serpent are conversing in the garden, the serpent says to Eve, "God knows when you eat it, the forbidden fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God." To be God, to be in control over our own existence, this is our great temptation. However, this didn't work out too well for Adam and Eve, nor has it for us. So, arrive plan B. To create a God in our own image, or at least in a convenient image. This is so common to the human condition that it's mentioned in the first two of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no gods before me, and you shall not make idols. At the time of Jesus, we see this clearly happening with the Jewish spiritual leaders. They're awaiting a Messiah to be king over their laws and their rules, someone just like them. When the true Messiah arrives on the scene, he's such a contrast to their expectations that instead of endorsing him, they destroy him. Unfortunately, it isn't much different with Jesus' disciples and close followers. Jesus tells them plainly numerous times who he is and what his purposes are. But they don't get it. They still want his kingdom to be an earthly kingdom, where he, like the great King David, will rule an independent and idyllic Israel. Consequently, when Jesus is crucified, his disciples and other followers are devastated and lost. When we shape a God to our liking, usurping the true God, eventually that idol will fall from its throne, shatter into pieces, and cause us great confusion, misunderstanding, and resentment. The good news is that God, in his great mercy, doesn't leave us there. If we're open to him, he will open our eyes to his true nature and glory. We'll see this play out today in our text, Luke 24:13-35. In this passage, Cleopas and his friend, members of Jesus' inner circle, are on the road leaving Jerusalem a few days after the crucifixion. Like the disciples, they're feeling confused, hopeless, and defeated. They'd hoped Jesus was the one to redeem Israel and bring it back to greatness, but now they assume he's dead. In this passage, they refer to him as a prophet, mighty in deed and word, but not as God. It appears that though they'd spent time with him and his disciples, they still didn't understand his mission and his true identity. Like us, they made God in the image they desired. Let's take a look and see how the risen Jesus comes near to them. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him, and he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yes, and besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. "Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they didn't find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us at the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it's towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread, and he blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they arose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 who were with him gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. With their expectations for the Messiah crushed, these two Jesus followers left Jerusalem, hopeless and confused. However, Jesus didn't leave them in that condition. The passage says he came near to them, reminiscent of the parable of the lost sheep in Matthew 18, where the shepherd leaves the 99 sheep to find the one who's lost. Jesus, right after his resurrection, takes the time to find these two lost sheep and bring them back to the fold. I love the way he comes to the counselor, as the counselor, meets with them where they are, listens to their story, and then speaks to their condition. Earlier in the Gospels, when Jesus tries to explain his true identity to the religious leaders, their hearts are hard and not open. In this situation, it's different. Jesus interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He took the time to correct their understanding of who he was and replace their false image with the true Christ. They listened, and it says, when he spoke, their hearts burned. This wasn't heartburn from a spicy lunch. Unlike the Jewish religious leaders, these two had hearts open to God. When they heard God speak, it rocked their very souls, and later at dinner, they clearly saw he was Jesus. Though they'd known Jesus for some time, this is the first moment they saw and understood who he truly was. How exciting. This Easter, take a look at the God you worship and ask yourself if you're worshiping a God of your own creation or the true risen Christ. If you're not sure, ask him to come near to help you find his true identity. Happy Easter.
Thanks for listening to this week's devotion from Fremont Presbyterian Church. We hope you'll join us this Sunday morning as we study more about this passage. Find out all the details about service times at fremontpress.org. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast feed as we post every Sunday, Monday morning, and Thursday morning.